This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Robin Dow producing. Signature support for our program is from Jerry Lane Chevrolet and from First Financial Tax and Accounting Services. We appreciate them and we appreciate you. And if you're so inclined, we always enjoy hearing from the most enlightened audience in radio. 877-217-5757 is our number. Emails to talk at talklouisiana.org. We begin our discussion today with the issue of the month, perhaps of the year. It is the talk of the town, any town in the United States right now. It is regarding the leaked opinion from Justice Samuel Alito last week, the appointee of George W. Bush, writing for the majority of five. This majority, by the way, is constructed with one Bush, one appointee, Clarence Thomas, one Bush, two appointee in Alito, and then three Donald Trump appointees, Neil Gorsuch, Brett Kavanaugh, Amy Coney Barrett. So the five members of the court, which will make up the majority on this decision unless something changes, were appointed by three different Republican presidents, and four of the five were appointed by presidents who did not win the overall vote. Think about that. 877-217-5757. And Louisiana is a, quote, pro-life state with a pro-life governor, a pro-life legislature. Later in the hour, we'll hear from Angie Thomas of Louisiana Right to Life. But Lamar White, the publisher of the Bayou Brief, is on the scene as usual and finds nuggets of information read nowhere else. And this time reporting for the Bayou Beast, he has unearthed much about the background of the sponsor of the bill that got seven votes in the House Criminal Justice Committee, a 7-2 vote, all males voting to advance a bill that would impose the charge of murder, homicide, on any woman who gets an abortion in Louisiana. Lamar White, what about this fellow Danny McCormick? What do you know about the guy from Oil City?
Well, I know more than I wanted to know. And it's the story that I wrote is going to be on probably the Daily Beast later today.
The Daily Beast.
The Daily Beast, probably this afternoon. I want to point out one thing. You know, we wouldn't be having this conversation at all had the Supreme Court not been joined by its newest justice, not joined. Her name is Amy Coney Barrett, and she's from Metairie, Louisiana. And she took the place of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. So that's really what's made ultimately the difference. She is the fifth vote that they've been looking for.
She is the fifth vote. And of course, the Gorsuch appointee came after Mitch McConnell wouldn't allow a hearing or a vote on Merrick Garland for almost a year after right. Justice Scalia died. So there are two seats there that are subject to conjecture, but as noted, four of the five justices who are voting in the majority were nominated by presidents who did not win the vote. They won in the Electoral College, but they did not win the vote. And that's right. The way it is in America right now, that it isn't a silent majority. It is a powerful minority that is controlling many of the major issues of the day. And now, 49 years after Roe v. Wade was ratified by the Supreme Court on January 22, 1973, we've got a new day, and now states like Louisiana, all across the Southeastern Conference, they're sweeping to try to find ways to impose even greater sanctions against anybody who dares to get an abortion. So what about Danny McCormick? Why would he go in this direction? He's from a small town, about 1,000 people, near the Arkansas border. A town that produced the fine actor Earl Holliman, by the way. But Oil City is a place that has hatched this man who's one of the most conservative members of the legislature. Your thoughts?
And he lives outside of Vivian, Louisiana, and his home is probably directly in the path of where a tornado touched down on the morning of November 22nd, 1963. It was part of a storm system that blew in from Dallas. So it's just kind of funny.
Something else happened that day, as we know.
Yeah. Yes. This was the biggest news story of the day until something else happened in Dallas at about 12:30. This piece is about how the Alito opinion empowers sort of fringe voices in the religious right that even some pro-life people will say this is too extreme. McCormick did not write this legislation. This was not even his necessarily his idea. He was approached last year, I don't know when, but early last year, by a Baptist preacher named Brian Gunter, 35-year-old Baptist preacher from Pollock, Louisiana. Brian convinced him to carry this bill. I don't think any other member of the legislature agreed to co-sponsor or anything like that. A similar bill was introduced in the Texas state legislature in 2017. It generated a lot of, attention and actually, a lot of worry and anxiety. The Texas pro-life community, pretty much for the most part, was in opposition to this. They felt like they call these abortion abolition bills. And the sentiment there was that this bill was counterproductive. So that particular bill died in committee. Of course, our bill, the one that we're talking about right now, that it's scheduled for a floor vote on Thursday, advanced out of committee, both up 7-2, which is the first time anything like this has ever advanced in any state legislature. We'll see what happens. We know that already that the Louisiana Right to Life, which was, by the way, Brian Gunter's former organization, has come out against this. And a lot of people are wondering, even some of the most strident pro-life voices here in Louisiana are wondering, maybe this goes a little too far.
We're visiting with Lamar White, publisher of the Bayou Brief, and his latest work will be on the pages of the Daily Beast today, and it regards the background and the sentiments and the genesis of one Danny McCormick, the lawmaker from Oil City, who is in the oil business, as you can imagine. Danny McCormick, according to those who know him well, say he's a very nice man, but on the conservative side politically. In fact, Lamar is so conservative that he's to the right of Mike Johnson, the lawmaker in Shreveport.
Danny McCormick got his start. He decided he wanted to run for politics after hearing about a bill in Congress that was actually co-sponsored by Mike Johnson. It was a Louie Gohmert bill in the House, and then there was another version of it in the Senate that was Bill Cassidy's. This bill would have designated Caddo Lake as a national heritage area, and this incensed Danny McCormick, and he decided to organize around it. He believed that a national heritage area was some sort of deep state conspiracy that would allow the government to confiscate people's private property. He saw this as a, quote, stealth land grab, and really got a lot of attention in the local media and Shreveport at the time, and obviously pestered these congressmen a lot to the point where they decided that they were going to pull the legislation. In actuality, a National Heritage Area is nothing more than a tourism program. The government doesn't own any property. He just got the whole thing wrong. Mm-hmm. But it just shows you that, he built his career sort of on disinformation. And I think that he's been, during the mask mandate time, which Shreveport, right after Shreveport implemented a mask mandate, there were other theories that he broadcast on his Facebook about this being a pretext or a precursor to the government perhaps injecting people with medication, or who knows, maybe even the mark of the beast. So I would say a fringe voice.
All right, a couple of questions for our listeners. Does McCormick have children of his own? Yes, he does. He and his wife, Susan, have two, and this bill that would prosecute women for murder for having an abortion, it does not have exceptions for rape, incest, or the protection of the life of the mother. So if a woman was raped, got an abortion as a result of the rape, she could be charged with murder under the legislation that got 7 votes, all males, 7-2, in the House Criminal Justice Committee last week. That is now up for discussion on the House floor. David in Atlanta, you're on with Lamar. Hi, David.
Good morning. Quite frequently, or at least on occasions, when women give birth, they experience toxemia, which sends their blood pressure through the ceiling and it destroys their kidneys. My former girlfriend died from exactly that. Now, if Danny McCormick is serious, he needs to sign up as a kidney donor and provide one of his kidneys to the next woman who was raped and forced to have a child and take it to term to replace one of her kidneys. And if he doesn't do it, he's a hypocrite.
All right. Lamar, your thoughts about David's sentiments?
Well, I mean, I think he's still a hypocrite regardless because, you know, you should listen to some of the things that he said when he was advocating against mask mandates about how it should be – it's his body, it should be his choice, you know, or the government has no right to regulate your body because your body is your private property. So there's a cognitive dissonance that's there that's just clear as day.
877-217-5757, time for a 90-second break, and we will return with more from Lamar White, publisher of the Bayou Brief, after this. This is Jim Engster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Your number to be on the show is 877-217-5757. And Danny McCormick, the pride of Oil City, has a bill that has advanced the first hurdle on a overwhelming vote of 7-2 in the House Criminal Justice Committee to impose a charge of murder on women who get an abortion. Lamar White is with us. He's done a major profile on Danny McCormick that will be featured on the Daily Beast. Lamar is the publisher of the Bayou Brief, and you can find out more about what he's doing. He's into some interesting matters involving Huey Long and Carlos Marcello, but right now he's on the trail of the man from Oil City, Danny McCormick. Miriam in Mandeville. Miriam, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning. Do y'all know if this bill makes any provision for the treatment of ectopic pregnancies? Those of us who have had actually born and had children know that ectopic pregnancy results in about the leading cause of maternal death for pregnant women, and it's 1-4% of all pregnancies. Ectopic, it means that the fetus has implanted outside the womb. It's a deadly condition. I have yet to find any one of these anti-abortion people who know any, who have even heard of it.
Hmm. And the bill does not include a provision to preserve the life of the mother.
It doesn't specifically deal with ectopic pregnancies. That's correct. I did speak with the pastor, Brian Gunter, yesterday about this exact issue. He is insistent that it does not. It does not include ectopic pregnancies. I think the quote was, "It's absurd to believe that we would ban ectopic pregnancies," because he says that they would result in death of the fetus anyway. I'm not sure if that's 100% true, but that's their take. That no, this isn't included. And you know, the other thing is that in vitro fertilization. A lot of people have been wondering about the implications of this on IVF. Well, they're right to worry, but from his perspective, this would only ensure that IVF facilities or IVF clinics are ethical. And by that, he means they don't discard any of the embryos that are in their possession, and that women that use IVF clinics must have every one of the embryos that are produced. They must at some point try to implant them. So if you have 15 mm-hmm. frozen embryos, you're going to have to at least try to have all 15 implanted.
This minister, Reverend Gunter, is he related to Carl Gunter, the former state lawmaker?
I believe so. I think that they're distantly related. And I mean, they're both, by the way, from Grant Parish.
Yeah.
This guy's from Pollock, which was a sundown town for most of the 20th century. Meaning that a black person could not visit Pollock after sundown. And until at least as recently as 1990, that Pollock was one of the few cities in Louisiana that didn't have a single African-American resident.
Really? You know that area well. But Carl Gunter, the former state representative back in the day, this is 32 years ago when he was a pro-lifer, he said that, quote, incest is good because that's how champion racehorses are hatched. That was Carl Gunter, the former state lawmaker, now the late Carl Gunter from Pineville. Pat in Denham Springs. Pat, you're on with Lamar. Good morning,
yes, sir.
Pat. Yes.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. On this abortion thing, I look at the national map of the states that are, you know, fixing a spring, and I think of that map as a map of respect for women and women's rights, and I think of it as a map that somebody would look at if they're choosing where to go to college and if they're choosing where to go to get a job. Would you go to a place where your career or your education could be suddenly overturned because you were forced to carry a baby or be labeled a murderer, or would you choose to go to a place where people respect your right to make your decisions about what you want to do, especially early in pregnancy?
Lamar, I think Pat makes some cogent remarks.
Excellent point. I wish I'd been able to get in touch with the people at Lobby about this particular piece of legislation to find out what they thought about how it would, you know, its implications in the business community. I will say that there are other aspects of this that would allow, if let's say a parish DA does not want to prosecute women under this law, it would allow the attorney general to do so instead. So it tries to circumvent any sort of quote sanctuary city. And there are other indications. Speaking of Pollock, Louisiana, they recently became the very first sanctuary city for the unborn in Louisiana. And under that law or ordinance, any Pollock resident cannot be aided and abetted to have an abortion. So you can't, it would prevent people from even like driving someone else to an abortion clinic that's, let's say, even out of state, and preventing people from getting medication in the mail. So it's even more extreme in many ways than the bill by Danny McCormick. And I just predict that we'll see a slow trickle of this type of legislation in the near future.
I remember the Hamlet of Pollock. You had a lawmaker many years ago named Dale Smith, good looking guy, very conservative. He was a seatmate of Irma Dixon from New Orleans, and they disagreed on practically every vote. But you know what? They ended up getting to like each other. And it's a shame that we don't have more collegiality. Both fine people, different points of view. But now this issue, above all others, is a dividing point in America. And it is curious that the three appointees of Donald John Trump are three of the five. The vote would be 4-2 the other way if it weren't for the Trump appointees. So when Donald Trump runs for election in 2024, remember this. And if you like it, vote for him. And if you don't like it, then you might want to reconsider. Courtney in the Garden District. Courtney, you're on with Lamar White.
Hi. I first wanted to say I support women's choice across the board, but I did want to return to the IVF issue since I'm currently undergoing treatment and wondered if lawmakers are attending to this at all and maybe consulting voices in science. The idea that women would have to put in unhealthy embryos and subject themselves to the trauma of miscarriages is just, it's mind-boggling and mind-blowing, and it would be such a trauma for women who are already dealing with infertility and making decisions about healthy embryos and unhealthy embryos. And this removal of the word implantation, I mean, it's not a pregnancy until it implants. So, I mean, it's very key.
Lamar, Courtney makes some good remarks too.
Excellent points.
But if this issue on a broader level, if this doesn't encourage people to get out to vote, no matter which side you're on, I don't know what will.
And I agreed, and I think it will. I will say to the issue of implantation, you know, what this would do, it effectively bans IUDs, intrauterine devices, because they are intended to either stop fertilization or, if not, prevent implantation. So the use of IUDs would be essentially prohibited. And with respect to fertility clinics and IVF, you know, What clinics do is that they test embryos in petri dishes. So for the first, let's say, 5 days, if one of these petri dishes were to have been like accidentally discarded, or if they decide to, one is not, there's absolutely no chance for implantation, or very, very, the un- is very unlikely to be implanted. they still would not be able to discard it and could be charged, as my understanding is, under sort of a negligent homicide statute. So I don't know how any IVF clinic would be able to survive in Louisiana under this regime.
877-217-5757 is your Talk Louisiana number. Email us, talk@talklouisiana.org. In just a bit, we are slated to hear from Angie Thomas, who is the number two person behind Benjamin Clapper at the Louisiana Right to Life. She has some thoughts that are in variance with Lamar's, but that group is on the record as being against the legislation sponsored by Representative McCormick. When we return, we'll hear from Patrick in Innisfield and Leonard on Airline. And once again, if you're inclined, there is a line open, 877-217-5757. You're listening to Talk Louisiana. We're glad you're with us. We've got another half hour to go, and we're back after this brief pause with more about this most sensitive and riveting issue. This is Jim Engster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana, 877-217-5757. On deck is Angie Thomas, the number two person at Louisiana Right to Life. She's a graduate of the Manship School at LSU and has a law degree from Loyola University. An impressive young person who, of course, has a different opinion about the issue of the day, perhaps of the year, perhaps of the decade, whether or not Roe v. Wade stays or goes. And it looks like the U.S. Supreme Court has 5 votes to overturn it, and that has implications in Louisiana. Now, we've had a few people on deck waiting for Lamar White, the publisher of the Bayou Brief, who has a piece that will appear today on the Daily Beast regarding Representative Danny McCormick, the sponsor of the bill that would impose homicide charges on women who seek abortions. Patrick at Innisfield, please be brief. You're on with Lamar. Hi, Patrick.
Hi. The misinformation by Lamar, the bill's not targeting women. It's targeting the quacks, I guess medical quacks you could call them, that are killing the babies. So it's going
to target Which bill are you referring to? Are you referring to McCormick's bill?
The bill that says that abortion is murder, which it is. If you kill a viable person with a heartbeat and a brain, you're taking their right to life away.
All right. Well,
that's why the government.
Okay, Patrick, you made your case, and as I've stated before, Patrick's sentiments are probably shared by many in Louisiana. But Lamar, I'm sure you have
it
a different
doesn't say anything
viewpoint.
About a heartbeat and a brain. It's from the moment of fertilization, not even implantation, but fertilization.
And at that There's point, no there is no heartbeat, there is no brain at that point. But
right.
Leonard on Airline. Hi. Leonard on Airline, you're on with Lamar. Hi, Leonard.
Hey, good morning, John. Good morning, Lamar. I can't help but think that, you know, that's the Kremlin. A couple of weeks ago, the Kremlin said that they're going to find any kind of way in our democracy to, destroy our democracy.
All right, what's your question?
My question is, isn't that another form of slavery and rape, what they're doing to these women?
Is that hyperbole, or is Leonard onto something? What do you think?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't necessarily go that far. I would just say that it is definitely about marginalizing women, and it is a reflection of the patriarchy. The three people, when this bill was introduced in committee, three white men were sitting at the table. There wasn't a single woman that had been involved in crafting this legislation. I think that speaks for itself.
Lamar, is always good to catch up with you, and belated happy birthday. I know this was a big one
for you.
They're all big, but
yes. This
is one of those zero ones, isn't it?
It was, yes. Lordy, lordy.
Lordy, lordy. Lamar is 40. Keep going. Thank you, Lamar White. Thank you.
All right.
Bye. Angie Thomas, pride of the Manship School at Louisiana State University, class of 2001, graduate of Loyola Law School, New Orleans. And the last few years, she has been two, I believe, the number two person at Louisiana Right to Life with Benjamin Clapper, and she's been on this issue for 20 years, and it is very personal to her, and she is a woman, and this is the first time in the last week we've had a, quote, pro-life woman on. And Angie, tell us about your odyssey. Why did you reach this point where you're not only in favor of banning abortion, but also it's so personal that this is one of your major missions in life?
Hi, Jim. Thank you for having me. And yes, it's certainly been the mission of my adult life. I have 4 daughters. So not only am I a woman, but I'm bringing up little women. And I am very passionate about this because of course, you know, abortion is not good for the unborn child. That's very clear. But abortion is not good for women. And I have seen it in my 20 plus years of working with women in unplanned pregnancies, working with post-abortive women. And, you know, it scars women, and it's just not a good answer to the underlying issues that plague women as they are in this vulnerable place of an unplanned pregnancy.
All right. On this bill that we've been talking about, Louisiana Right to Life, some might be surprised, at least unless something has changed, is against the bill by Representative McCormick to impose murder charges against women getting an abortion. Is that accurate?
Yes, we are not in support of that bill.
Why not?
So Louisiana Right to Life, we've always focused on both mother and child, and that's very important. We've had a longstanding policy that abortion-vulnerable women should not be criminalized. Instead, we should help them with resources and support, and we should be holding the abortion industry accountable for these crimes. They know exactly what they're doing when they're performing that abortion. And again, in my 20 plus years of working directly with women in unplanned pregnancies, they are victimized. You know, they don't feel like they have a choice sometimes, and they feel like society has given them this answer of abortion to all of these underlying issues that, you know, I have to kill my own child in order to succeed or in order to survive. Even sometimes they, you know, it seems like they're just in a place of such vulnerability. So we do not believe that we should criminalize the women. They're a victim of abortion as well.
Would you acknowledge, Angie, that there are many women, perhaps most women who have abortions, who don't have these major feelings that you just talked about, where they feel like they've done something terrible?
I do not believe that it is most women that feel that way, no. I feel that most women understand that even if they don't believe it is life at the time that they have the abortion, they do understand that it is, you know, potential life, or that they had an act, you know, they acted in a way that ended the future of their own child. So, you know, I'm not naive enough to think that every single person that's had an abortion is grieving, but I do believe a lot of the women who are advocating for abortions are advocating from a place of woundedness and a place of, you know, well, I did it, so I need for it to be right. I need for it to be okay. And I just must really portray the amount of women and men who have been plagued by that decision for decades. You know, I mean, we did a lot of post-abortion counseling at our center, you know, with professional counselors, and, you know, the grief and it's a complicated grief, right? Because you're grieving the loss of something that you were never able to experience. And it's complicated because you were a part of that loss. You made that decision.
Associate Director of Louisiana Right to Life, Angie Thomas, graduate of the LSU Manship School and Loyola Law School, and the number two person of this organization, which is against the Danny McCormick bill. But as you can hear, she is ardently anti-abortion. 877-217-5757, Trish in Grand Coteau. Trish, you're on with Angie. Good morning.
Good morning. I want to tell you a story about my mom, who was born in 1914 and started her nursing career in the 30s. She was an Army nurse during World War II, dealing with the Pacific Theater. And her religion was very important to her, and her faith was a very big part of her life. However, she said in her capacity as a nurse, she had witnessed and seen so many tragedies and deaths resulting from botched abortions that while it would never be her choice, she thought every woman had the right to determine her own fate and then deal with her God as her religion dictated. She just said, desperate women do desperate things. Not every woman feels that a pregnancy is a gift. Sadly, for financial, emotional, physical, whatever reasons, sometimes it is perceived as not a gift. And she always felt that women should have the right to make their own choice and deal with their God.
Angie, would you respond to the thoughtful comments from Trish?
Yes, thank you, Trish. You know, it is a very difficult thing when a woman is in an unplanned pregnancy and she feels like she has no choice, right? She feels like she has no support and no resources. But that is no reason to be okay with the ending of another unique human life. I mean, that is the science is there that the unborn child is a human being. And so there's so much pain involved with that, but we as a society should not say, okay, well then you can go ahead and end the life of your child, instead of saying we will come alongside of you and help you in whatever way we can, whether that's providing information on the loving option of adoption or coming alongside of her with whatever resources she may need. But again, like that especially that whole concept of the botched abortion, like that further proves what I'm saying about the difficulty of women and how they don't want to choose abortion, but sometimes they feel like that's their only choice.
Shouldn't
right?
they, if they, ha- if they choose, be though, Angie, if they choose, wouldn't it be better to have a place where it would be safe rather than endanger the life of the mother as well?
Well, that's another lie. If you really looked at every single abortion clinic in Louisiana right now and could see their violation,
there are only three of them. There are only three remaining.
That's correct. And they all have clinic violations associated with them.
Now, I don't know that to be the case. I know in the past there were some problems. I did a story. I think the people who ran the Delta Women's Clinic came to me in 1994. We did the story on it. But I think that these people, based on what I know, and you may know something I don't, they do what they can to make it a safe environment. And it's safer than doing it by yourself or doing it in a back alley, and that will happen. But 54% of all abortions now are done pharmaceutically. Are you against that as well?
Yes, we are also against chemical abortions. That also can be very unsafe, especially when there's no medical oversight. And that's what we're seeing right now. That's, kind of what we're anticipating will be the new back alley abortion is just the DIY abortion pills. And so, if a woman has an ectopic pregnancy, that chemical abortion pill is...
All right, hold tight. We're going to spend some more time, another quarter hour with Angie Thomas. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Angie Thomas, the Associate Director of Louisiana Right to Life, is with us, mother of four, graduate of LSU's Manship School, class of 2001, and Loyola Law School. And she has been on the forefront of opposing abortion and finding ways to overturn Roe v. Wade for 20 years. And it appears the U.S. Supreme Court is on the brink of doing just that. In your remarks, please be brief. We do, as you might surmise, have some people waiting to talk with Angie. 877-217-5757. Your number, Joe on I-10. Joe, you're on with Angie. Hi, Joe.
Hi. I think actually you mean Jill.
Okay. I'm sorry, Jill.
Separate.
Jill,
yeah,
thank you.
Jill, actually. I'm female. I would like to point out that there are situations when it is extraordinarily hard to continue with pregnancy, and this is one I'd like to lay before you. A mother who's lost a child to SIDS and then has another pregnancy and told that this child is not viable. There are so many deformities in the body, the heart, the kidneys, and other vital organs that the child will die at birth or shortly after. So for this mother, surely it is not, it should be an option to end that pregnancy because of the mental situation. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Jill. Angie?
Hi, Jill. Thank you. That seemed very specific. So I'm very sorry if that was an experience that you had or that you knew someone who had. This is a difficult situation, of course, but to play a part in the ending of the life of your own child after you've been through this awful situation of SIDS and losing a child through no fault of your own, right? Through the SIDS death. And then getting this traumatic news of the difficulty, the adverse diagnosis in your pregnancy, all of that is awful and painful. But for you to then, intentionally end the life of that child, even if they have a fatal diagnosis and they may only be alive for minutes or hours, for you to play a role in the intentional ending of that life before its natural death causes that woman and that family even more strife. To hold that child for minutes or hours brings such tremendous closure, and that's all that child knew is love, right? In those final minutes or hours. And so I would say that, it's certainly a very difficult situation. I've worked with families who have experienced this before, and I've worked with families who have also, chosen abortion in that instance and highly regretted it because they felt that they were victims, but now they're victimizing because they, intentionally ended that life early. So, again, I'm sorry for that situation. And I hope that person, if they are experiencing it, I hope that they can find some help and resources to get through that grief and love that child for as long as she has them.
Now, more than half the country, as far as population, will still have, if things stay the same, will still have the opportunity to get an abortion, meaning somebody from Louisiana could travel to New York or California. With it now being largely a pharmaceutical rather than surgical procedure, I would imagine people of means will find ways to get the drugs necessary to abort. We're talking primarily low-income minority people in the South who will not be able to get an abortion the way others in this country can. Is that fair, Angie Thomas?
Well, we're doing our best here in Louisiana to support the, women and children and the dignity of life. But we can't control what other states are doing. But we believe that we are heading in the right direction of Roe v. Wade being overturned, of this issue going back to the states. And, hopefully Louisiana can be, a leader in this and can show the world how amazing women are and what we can do when we're given the right support and the right resources. So, again, we can't control that.
All right, but are you saying that women who have an abortion are not amazing?
I did not say that. But I do not agree with that choice, and I would hope that they could find another way.
Okay. But in your ideal world, abortion would be illegal everywhere in the United States. Is that accurate?
Everywhere in the world.
Everywhere in the world. Okay. Would you be in favor of any kind of exceptions that would allow a woman to? No. Okay.
No, the life, when a woman's life is in danger, of course, we certainly have to help her and support that woman, right? But we can do that in a way that supports the dignity of both the mother and the child.
James in Metairie. James, you're on with Angie. Please be brief, James.
Good morning, Jim. Good morning to your guests. I don't even know where to start. This lady is just talking about victimization to the max of women. There are women who have abortions, several of them. They just walk away and move on with their lives. Their position is inconsistent. It's all political. They know if women start going to prison, the pushback will be enormous. My question is this. Did Louisiana Right to Life enthusiastically support the governor's expansion of Medicaid, which saved innumerable lives during this pandemic? Thanks, Jim.
All right. Are you in favor of the expansion of Medicaid under Obamacare?
I don't believe we took a position on that. We very much are focused on the right to life.
All right. Well, what about those who say they're in favor of right to life until birth, and then it's like you're on your own, baby. You got to tend for yourself. The government's not going to help you.
Well, I would say that would be highly politicized and just rhetoric, because if you do not know about the efforts of pro-lifers in after birth, to please learn more. There's more than 35 pregnancy centers around the state. These centers walk with women, not just during the pregnancy, but after birth and for as many years as the women need them. I mean, to talk about giving away material items, diapers, but not just that, like things that case management for these women that just need, maybe they need help getting a job. Maybe they need help getting daycare. Whatever it is, these centers are there for women, supporting mothers. And so, I mean, just that has been a significant part of the pro-life movement.
I'm looking at a survey from the Guttmacher Institute saying that 24% of all women in the United States have an abortion by age 45. So you're talking about a lot of people, and you're taking away a right that has been in existence for 49 years. Politically, I would think, and of course that's how these measures are determined in the United States, that's how they're settled politically, I would think 24% of the country, at least, will be against what you're doing. Does that in any way cause you any pause?
No, I mean, we understand that this is a very controversial issue. There's so much misinformation out there. And yes, I mean, certainly we are a country full of post-abortive women and men and grandmothers and siblings. And yeah, we understand that it has touched so many lives, but this overturning of Roe v. Wade is a step in the right direction. I mean, pulling straight from Alito's words, Roe was egregiously wrong. I encourage anyone listening right now to go read Roe versus
All right.
Wade and
well, but,
just see what you think.
And before Roe in 1973, abortion was available in many states, including California, the most liberal law in the land, which was signed by then Governor Ronald Wilson Reagan. Bennett in Bocage. Bennett, you're on with Angie Thomas. Hi, Bennett. Good morning.
Thank you, Jim. Angie, I have a question. Where do you stand on increasing the minimum wage in the state of Louisiana?
All right. Well, that's a different topic.
On increasing SNAP funding so that these children, that 15 million of them, depend on after they're born for nutritional supplements.
Right. What about food stamps and minimum wage? Would that be a way to help women who don't have the means and now in many cases will have to have a child that otherwise would have been aborted? Your thoughts?
Yeah, again, I continue to say it is so important for us to focus on the support and resources that women and families need. So that has been, again, prior to joining Right to Life, I was in a social service agency that focused on that very thing, Bennett. So I understand what you're saying. It is so utterly important that we support young mothers, mothers without, a lot of money that struggle. So yes, of course we support helping them in any way that we can. Our organization doesn't necessarily take a stance on that because we are so laser focused on the right to life. But again, we have to focus as a society on the underlying issues. Abortion does not solve poverty. Abortion creates violence even amongst, a mother and her child. We as a society need to do better than abortion. We have to offer women better outcomes than abortion.
All right. Well, we can all do better on helping people. And on this issue, as we have heard, many are on each side, and the chances of changing someone's mind are limited. But we thank you for your remarks. Jack Harrison, I'll close with an email from him. Having worked in the juvenile court system for 15 years and having seen many young children raised in desperate, profoundly difficult situations, I can say I've not seen one pro-life advocate come in to offer any assistance. Advocating for the unborn is easy. The unborn makes no demands of you. That from Jack. Thank you, Angie. Signature support from First Financial Tax and Accounting Services and Jerry Lane Chevrolet.